want to come back to this breaking story this morning, very important story, that the British Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that there is no need to consult Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland on Brexit. John Campbell's here in the studio with us. Why is this significant, John?
Well, so we voted to leave the EU, so there's going to be a Brexit, but that just doesn't happen overnight. There's a piece of something has to be triggered called Article 50. And what happened was there was this challenge brought to the Supreme Court saying that Article 50 shouldn't be triggered without first a vote in Parliament. So MPs should get their say rather than just the PM saying we're doing this. And then there was a second part to that challenge which they said, and also that the devolved legislators, which are Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, should have a say in this, some sort of veto. So the Supreme Court, kind of the biggest legal brains in the land, they've been looking at this and they've ruled yes. There does need to be a vote in Parliament before Article 50 can be triggered, so that's going to have to happen. But they've said, no, there's no power of veto for Stormont, Scotland or Wales. So those are the key points, really, which is, yes, we have to have a vote in Westminster, but what the MLAs think about it doesn't matter.
And obviously, some of the Northern Ireland views will be reflected in Westminster via our Northern Irish MPs.
Exactly, yeah. So there'll have to be a debate in Parliament. There'll probably be legislation published, probably, what day is today? Tuesday? There could be legislation published tomorrow, and there'll be a debate in Parliament probably next week. So everybody will have their chance to have their say on Brexit. Now, what's going to happen, I would say, is ultimately there'll be a very kind of tightly drawn piece of legislation, and that will be passed, and the Brexit timetable will continue as was.
But for the devolved administration and people who believe in the, I guess, the sanctity of local people making local decisions, Northern Ireland's not going to have a veto. That's what's being decided.
Yeah, and this was about, if we get into a little bit of legalese here, there was a thing called the Sewell Convention, which is to say if there's basically matters which would affect a devolved region that they can't be legislated for at Westminster, that the local legislation, the local legislatures, local parliament should have a say. But what the Supreme Court says, the Sewell Convention isn't a legal obligation, it's just a convention, and devolved legislatures don't have any power to veto here. So there's an important, if you like, piece of constitutional law here which sets the limits to how much say the devolved legislations have in terms of UK law.
And Sinn Féin are warning about the dangers to the economy of Brexit.
Oh, yeah.
They're very vocal in that. Meanwhile, the DUP, of course, support it.
Yeah, and of course, the DUP, they will have their say in Westminster and Brexit. Sinn Féin, being an abstentionist party, will not.
OK. John Campbell, thank you very much indeed. There will be quite a lot to say about that Supreme Court decision that the devolved institutions in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland will not have a say in whether we will not be participating in that vote. There's no need to allow them to do so. No need to consult them. Lord Neuberger, in giving his ruling, said although the government lost the challenge, the justices unanimously ruled that there was no need to consult with the devolved powers. That's what he has said. He's the president of the Supreme Court. So the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, has ruled that the government is not required to consult the devolved assemblies before kickstarting the Brexit process. Judges voted 8-3 that Parliament does need to vote. That's the Parliament does need to vote on triggering Article 50. But the Scottish, Welsh and Northern Irish assemblies will not get to veto the process. The DUP MP, Ian Paisley, with his reaction to this today. Morning, Ian.
Good morning, Stephen.
What is your reaction to this?
Well, first of all, I think it's actually a very, very helpful judgment, as it clears away a lot of the fog that people had put up and were concerned about, and indeed rightly concerned about. But I think a lot of the fog has been cleared. The judges, by majority, as you've already indicated, have said that this is really a matter for the Supreme Parliament of the land, for our Parliament here at Westminster. They will take the decision. Parliamentarians will be asked to vote on this, and that the devolved assemblies are, whilst they're not irrelevant, they have no actual role because Parliament takes that role for them, because their powers are derived from the Supreme Parliament.
Well, they're irrelevant to the extent that they're not going to get the vote.
Well, no, the members of Parliament from those areas get the vote, and they, of course, will vote probably in line with their constituencies. And as the majority of constituencies in the United Kingdom voted to leave the EU, I imagine that Parliament, when it is given the opportunity to vote, probably late February, early March, that we will vote to leave the EU and to implement Article 50. I must say that I think I had some conversations with this about this with David Davis just before Christmas, and he indicated to us then and discussed a very brief one-clause bill that, in the eventuality of the Supreme Court going this way, and I think that's what we will ultimately do, a one-clause bill which says that we're now leaving the EU and Parliament has decided that, and then let's get on with the detailed negotiations. So I welcome the clarity.
I see the pound has fallen today, Ian. Sterling down 0.8% against the dollar after this decision, down against the euro as well.
Yes, it fell the day after we left the EU and then went back up. And, of course, the FTSE's now at staggering heights has gone. And we saw the same with the dollar whenever President Trump was elected. They said that there would be the end of the dollar. It fell for moments and then it rose to new levels. So I think, you know, we can't judge our politics by the markets. The markets are, of course, informed by politics. It's important that we have stability. And I think most people who are looking at the markets, hedge fund managers and others, will welcome the fact that now Parliament will have one say in this. It will be clear cut and over.
Stay there, Ian, for just a second or two, if you can.
I've only got a few minutes, Stephen, so we really do need to be quick. I'm sorry to rush you.
OK, well, let me just let you hear Claire Hannah's reaction to this, and then, of course, you can go. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you.
Hi, Stephen. Well, obviously, you know, I'm glad that the core of the case was upheld. I won't lie, I'm disappointed. Obviously, we, along with other parties here and as well, has intervened on the devolution aspect. So I am disappointed with that aspect of the ruling. And it does open up a lot of questions about how the British Constitution and the Sewell Convention has kept pace or not kept pace with the pace of devolution. But I think the fact that Westminster gets a vote is at least some victory. It will put some democratic control on the shape of the negotiations and won't give the May government a complete free hand. I think it is worth pointing out, though, that Ian and others, if this was the European Parliament making such a substantial ruling without consulting Westminster, they would be apoplectic with rage about it. So I don't really understand the concept of people who support devolution here not wanting a say on something so seismic.
Do you respond to that, Ian?
Well, actually, I welcome that. I mean, you know, that's a reasonable comment. I mean, I can understand why Claire would be disappointed in terms of losing those parts of it. But at the end of the day, it does give absolute clarity and clears a lot of the fog. And look, no matter what our views are on devolution, all of the devolved assemblies are subservient to the mother of parliament because they're devolved. They get their power from Westminster. So it's only right and proper that you go back to the core. And therefore, members of parliament, well, I believe, play the key role. And I think really the issue here is those members who abstain from Parliament, they're the ones who are actually letting down their people by not being here and playing a role in this national Parliament.
OK.
I think it's worth pointing out, even though Northern Ireland doesn't get an Assembly vote, that doesn't absolve governance here from having a plan and having
Correct.
Negotiations. So it is insane that this massive event is happening just and we have no Assembly advocating on behalf of the interests here.
Ian, before you go, your reaction to Michelle O'Neill being the replacement for Martin McGuinness?
Well, I suppose it was one of the worst kept secrets in Northern Ireland over the last sort of week or so. First of all, many congratulations. I think it's a generational change for Sinn Féin and shows a new dynamic within that organisation. I think Michelle O'Neill is a woman we can do business with. I think she's a woman who we can sit down and work with, and I look forward to post the election doing business with Michelle O'Neill. I've worked with her in the past when she was Agriculture Minister, and whilst there were many points we disagreed on, I did find her interventions at times very helpful.
Your party has put out an ad with Gerry Adams with Michelle O'Neill in his pocket saying that's the problem.
Well, I think one of the points is who really pulls the strings here. And I think the banter of that ad, and I think it has to be seen as banter, I think that does actually...
Banter? Not a political message?
I think
not to be taken seriously?
Let me finish the sentence. I think it does highlight a key point in that way, using humour, that, you know, who really pulls the strings here. And that, of course, will be the test. I'm sure Michelle O'Neill will want to prove that she runs the Northern Ireland...
But the party is saying... The party is saying new deputy, same problem. What's the problem with Gerry Adams?
Well, I think we've seen that in the past, whenever the Assembly has wanted to do things, there have then been interventions from the bigger party, which has a slightly different agenda. I think that's the point it's making. It's making it quite well. It's using humour to do that.
OK. Ian Pizzey, thank you. Claire Hannah, thank you very much indeed.